Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary. Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
And with this new technology, we're going to defeat them.
Operation Downfall is going to be the largest mechanized invasion in the history of mankind. We will be victorious. We fight. That's what we do.
On your feet, maggot!
This is Film Sack. Oh, sure. Hello and welcome to Film Sack. This is Film Sack, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind, episode 614. I'm Scott Johnson, joined today by Brian. You look nice in that mech suit, Dunaway.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Oh, hi. This week on Film Sack, all you need is the edge of your seats to find out what tomorrow will bring as we take it to the max to live, die, and oh no, not again, repeat. This killer 2014 sci-fi action film adapted from some straight-up right-to-left manga, starring our favorite middle-aged Mr. Risky Business himself, sock-sliding pantless right into the horrors of defending the Earth against time-looping aliens that resemble last night's plate of spaghetti and meatballs. Hold still, you slippery piece of alien pasta. We lost Germany. We lost France. Somebody get this guy some underpants. Anywho, this is 111th time I have written this intro, and this is as far as we have ever made it. I've tried everything. I've rewritten that underpants bit under my eyes, dilated to full black. Yeah. Every time I say, oh, hi, eventually some spaghetti and meatballs, garlic breathing time alien pops up behind me and chokes me out. But so far, no alien. Huh. Okay, maybe my tweaks. Nope, I'm dead. Randy, strike a sweaty yoga pose. We about to go medieval on this claw machine trainer.
Oh, you killed me with the spaghetti.
Yeah,
nicely done. Also with us, Randy, I think you swallowed some of that there alien goo blood, son. Jordan.
Aloha, Scott. Brian.
Randy.
You are my J-Squad. My cute little adorable, completely forgettable J-Squad. Why did we even give you names? No one has ever remembered any of your names, except for me, because I've spent the last 1,400 days with you. But you're still essentially disposable cannon fodder who eat playing cards and something else that I'm supposed to be memorable. I've already forgotten. How many of you are there anyway? Six? But then sometimes when you're doing PT, there's like 12 of you. It doesn't matter. I feel like I need to say this again. You don't matter. But you're going to save the world. You're going to save the world as long as you follow these three easy company steps. Okay. Number one, strap on a mech suit. Apparently, we seem to have a ridiculous number of them hanging around, and they don't use any conspicuous ammunition, so go nuts. Number two, no one is allowed to talk about what the enemy looks like or fights like before we're in the war zone. That's just good strategy, am I right? Number three, You know how we have this special training room with unnecessarily deadly whirling propeller claws? And you know how the only woman in a sea of thousands of men is in that room doing some sort of sexual yoga pose to make damn sure everyone knows she's a sexual woman who does sex? Yes. First person to walk in there and tell her what her middle name is gets to kiss her later. How about them apples?
Whoa. Some fine apples there.
Hello, Rose.
Yeah. Hi, Rose. How you doing? And with us finally, Brian, I sure as heck fire remember you, Ibbot.
Bing, right again. All right, let's get to this. No setup is necessary, I don't think. All right.
On a pile of army gear, and you may find yourself in another part of the world, and you may find yourself rolling under the wheels of a large automobile, and you may find yourself with a beautiful woman with a beautiful chin, and you may ask yourself, well, didn't I do this yesterday? You'll live, die, and repeat.
No, it's Edge of Tomorrow.
But the poster says that.
Yes, but that's not what the movie's called.
But that's a better name.
Yeah, that's widely agreed.
So I can call it that.
Sure, but it won't come up in search.
And you may ask yourself, how do I turn off the safety? And you may ask yourself, do you have something on your face? And you may tell yourself, I don't belong in J Squad. And you may tell yourself, come find me when I wake up.
You'll live, die, and repeat.
You should stop calling it that.
What about the book?
It's called All You Need Is Kill.
That's also a better name.
You sound like a Reddit post.
So Edge of Tomorrow then.
That's the point we tried to make.
I did all this yesterday. 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 I did all this yesterday.
Oh my gosh, dude. You are killing me with these.
Yeah, that was so great. Good. And exactly the same thing I thought. I'm like, this is the worst name ever. Tomorrow.
I mean, at the time, it was one of the chief criticisms against the movie. It was like, why didn't you just use your tagline as the poster?
It is the most throwaway movie title name
Edge
ever.
Edge of the Blade? Edge of
it's
Tomorrow?
Like, is that a soap opera or is it a sci-fi movie?
Yeah, Edge of Tomorrow does sound like a love thing. Like a right. romance deal.
And there's no love here.
Not really.
And this would have made an interesting soap opera. Just imagine if every day you were watching this character go through his like new bits, like, right? Like, because every day of his repeat, he does new things.
Right.
He like learns something.
Well, we
that
know
would
the
be
girl...
an interesting premise for a soap opera in general, just a time loop.
Oh, like... that's not bad. Yeah. Are there any time loop?
And then they would wake up out of a coma. It'd be great.
Like romantic, not even comedies, but like romantic dramas or anything with a time loopy thing. Is like the time traveler's wife or whatever? Is that a thing? Or
I don't know. One?
Kind of. One of
that
the
Adam Sandler thing where Drew Barrymore forgets she's almost like in a time loop, right?
Oh, 50 First Dates. She's in a time. Well, everybody else is in time loop. She's not.
Right.
She's the every other person in the time loop. Yeah. But the one of the ones that I talked about in my bonus episode called One More Time is more of a drama, less of a comedy. There's comedy elements, but it's more of a dramatic romance time loop.
Interesting. Okay.
But you have to sit through some Swedish subtitles to watch it.
And if you're, by the way, it's a nice time to remind everybody, if you're a patron of the show, Brian Ibbot just put up a fantastic episode about time loop films. So you,
I know, and he was so excited to do yet more time loop films. Thank God you like them.
Yeah,
I do. I really do like them, actually.
Yeah, but you didn't really time it for this. That's what's funny.
Not even a little bit. No. Yeah, I procrastinated for the first 2 weeks of August, and it just turned out to be, this happened to be the week that we did Edge of Tomorrow. Yeah.
Well, let's see what not Scott Fletcher says about Edge of Tomorrow, so we can understand the idea here. Here you go.
Edge of Tomorrow! Edge of Tomorrow! Edge of Tomorrow! A soldier fighting aliens gets to relive the same day over and over again, the day restarting every time he dies.
All right.
get to live.
I love that. Sweet. Listen, I love Fletcher, and I'd much rather have Fletcher, but if we can't have Fletcher, I love this guy.
Yeah, this guy will stay until we get Fletcher, which he's just been busy and had a lot going on, so he hasn't had time to do these. But Edge of Tomorrow, 2014, we talked about all that. You've heard all the details. This is one of those movies that I can watch and enjoy every time I see it. I really like this movie. May as well get this out of the way early. I don't think there's much wrong with it. I think it's a fantastic film.
A lot of people like it.
I'm curious, though, if it passes Brian's litmus test of the time loop film.
See, the
thing.
Time loop versus time travel. So time travel, there's so much you can get wrong with time travel. You screw anything up that causes something to be in a place that it doesn't need to be in a place, and everybody disappears around it talking about you, Looper, is the big problem with time travel. But with time loop, you don't have to worry about any of those constraints. You know, basically it's one person experiencing this, and you just have to wonder what's happening once Tom Cruise's character dies. You know, obviously in this case, everything resets. It's not like a multiverse situation where you've got to worry about all the consequences that happen afterwards.
Right.
Because otherwise, Emily Blunt's going to jail a bunch of times for killing Tom Cruise multiple times for seemingly no reason.
Good point.
As you said, Brian Ibbett, a time loop film has to distinguish itself from all the other time loop films. So they all try to do something original, right? They all have a thing. This movie, the thing is, a guy gets stuck in a time loop and he finds out there's someone else who has already been through a time loop a bunch of times. So she's able to believe him and relate to him. And that felt really cool the way it was handled in this movie. I'm curious if you agree that it's that the distinction is a good one.
It is a good distinction. It's we've also seen it a little bit more recently with Russian Doll. Natasha Lyonne, whose character finds another person who's experiencing the time loop as well. But
looping too.
But this is it is a really clever, and it saves us so much time from the Groundhog Day thing where he's basically got to convince somebody. And it takes him so long. I think Annie McDowell is the first one that he convinces that he's in a time loop. And even that, she's skeptical.
Like, but we can all agree that the Groundhog Day is peak loop movies, right?
I mean,
we can all
just say it's really good. I mean, it's not necessarily the first. Some people did point out that there were a couple non-American time loop movies that came before it, but it's the blue screaming spaghetti alien. Right. Compared to all the other orange screamings.
It's the alpha, that's true. And I think that it's hard not to watch this and not see a bunch of similarities. But I do think Randy has a really key point here. You're led to believe at the beginning of the movie that the angel of Fluton or whatever the location
Verdun.
Thank you.
Fluton.
Islam just amazing.
We're not done until I say Verdun.
She's an amazing soldier. No one's like her. She's incredible. Wow. Why? You know, like you don't really know why. Right. And then when he first meets her, you still really don't know why. But then it starts to make sense that maybe she's been there. And the fact that she's been there and done this over 300 times herself before she got pulled out of the loop is a conceit that I think really helps the story. Unlike the Andy McDowell thing where she still just has to trust Bill Murray.
Right.
This is her going, oh no, you're doing what I did. And it's obvious that you're doing what I did. So it's only everyone else around them where the convincing has to take place. And she knows even like when she shoots him in the head, every time he's,
which is, you know, comedic.
It's comedic, but also when she does that, she knows that this is all going to get looped, and so who cares? It doesn't really matter what she does, as long as he's killed, because he'll reset. And for me, that really helps the movie get over the whole park your brain stuff. It helps me go, okay, well, now we can just get into it. Yeah, we can get into this thing. We can start doing the story, and we can go for it. And we don't have to waste a lot of time with those tropes of, no one believes me, and I swear I'm from the. I've seen this before. You know, you don't have to do all of that as much,
right?
And I like that. I like that a lot.
Did anybody read the manga? All You Need Is Kill.
No.
Okay. I read it, and so I was like, oh, I didn't read it. I saw the movie the first time. Then I went and read the manga, and then I refreshed my memory before I watched it again this time. I'm like, oh yeah, I did have. I was like, oh, did anybody get mad? Was there, because this, you know, people love that manga series. So I'm like, did people get mad about coming in seeing Tom Cruise, this, you know, middle-aged guy versus, you know, it was more like fresh recruits?
Well, I'm sure there was somebody who didn't like it, because there always is. But yeah, like I didn't even know it was a manga when I first saw it. Then I found out later. and I was kind of curious, and then I went, wait, I literally have to read that back to front. Yeah. Forget it. I'm not doing that.
Back to front. Yep.
Can't do it. Just
manga
not,
jokes.
Just doesn't work for me.
And right to left. I forgot about this last time. I went to read it again. I was like, wait, I'm reading it. Cause I was like, this doesn't make any sense. I'm reading manga, you dumbass.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you're reading it backwards. Yeah. I'm like,
it's hard.
Language barrier is too much.
It's really hard for me to read those for that reason. Yeah. But yeah, like it's just, I guess what I'm saying is they're more effective with their resources here, because you don't have to waste a bunch of time in this movie with the tropes of this thing. Instead, you just get straight to it. It's just like, here's the first loop. That's going to go the longest because it's harrowing. You know, he's like, oh my gosh, I'm not a soldier. I was a PR guy. I'm a total puss, which, by the way, is so against type for Tom Cruise, and I really like that.
He played it so well. Like, when they first put him in the suit, I mean, the when you really first realize what a worm he is, okay, you kind of feel like you're just like, okay, he's kind of doing shit that I would do if I suddenly found myself in a position where they were about to draft me and put me in some real shit. At first, you'd be kind of like resistant and stuff, but by the time he gets to the point when he's in the mech suit and he starts to try to run away slowly, which is hilarious as hell.
Yeah.
And you see how small he is and diminutive he is compared to everybody else.
Yeah.
It really is maximized at that point.
Totally.
And then
agree.
You can really just appreciate.
And I appreciate that he's willing to do that, because I think that he's, I could be wrong, but the impression is always, well, if Tom Cruise isn't going to be in your movie, he is going to be extraordinary.
He has to be the best at whatever he does. And really, you know, we say that he does that in this movie. He really only does it for half of this movie.
Yeah,
the second half of the movie, he is the best at what he does.
Totally. And, he gets to be the badass.
Cruise is fulfilled. Yeah,
he puts of course. Cruise control on. Yeah,
he's good. Which again, you know, like I kind of expected, even though I didn't know what the movie was going to be, I expected at some point he's going to be awesome. But I like that trajectory, and they didn't have to oversell it because, again, there's another character in the room who gets it and understands where all this is.
Well, and also this movie refuses to oversell anything. This movie just can't bring itself to explain enough of anything. You know, why does Brendan Gleeson do this to Tom Cruise?
Amazing.
We don't really know. They have two great scenes together. Yeah. They're great scenes.
Yeah.
But we are not really given an explanation.
Yeah, we have no idea why somebody hates Tom Cruise that they've initiated this thing.
We can't even
figure out how that would be possible.
True. Yeah.
And the movie doesn't care. It's if you have problems understanding how this time looping works, because it is kind of convoluted. There's three kinds of aliens, like three. The aliens are a multi-level marketing organization. And on top of it, there's, you know what I'm saying? Like the you might go, okay, but wait. So if all he has to do, if he ever loses it, is just go back to the battlefield and do the same thing with a claymore again. And when he finds the blue one, but no. The movie doesn't care if you really get it and understand, because it's so bound and determined to put him out on a battlefield and Emily Blunt when possible, and have them do cool stuff until they get to their climax.
Yeah, that's basically it. And I feel like I just feel like it's really deftly done. I think part of this, the star of the movie for me, is Christopher McQuarrie, who is a big partner of Tom Cruise. He's the director and co-writer of most of the recent and best Mission Impossible movies. And he's known for all kinds of other stuff, but he's really, his writing is great. I've yet to not like a movie that he wrote, except for, I didn't like Jack Reacher. He wrote that. I didn't like it. The Tom Cruise one.
I was going to bring up Jack Reacher and ask if, you know, what's your Tom Cruise vehicle? Because Emily Blunt has stated publicly, repeatedly, that Edge of Tomorrow is the Tom Cruise vehicle for her, like the best thing he ever did. Yeah. And I would like to know if anybody thinks Jack Reacher is that.
Jack Reacher kind of sucks. It's not good.
I think Mission Impossible is kind of the, just deservedly so, the Tom Cruise vehicle. I'm sure somebody will argue Top Gun. Sure. Of course. Yeah. But I feel like he fits better in the whole Mission Impossible, indestructible main character, does things that, you know, would snap anybody else in half, but
especially if you're talking a franchise. I mean, that's clearly the franchise for him, because Top Gun, I think, are both remarkable films in their own way, but they're also 30 years apart, and they're not, it's not a series. I mean, it's a series, but it's not a series. It's not a real trill, you know, duology.
I wish someone could go back in time about 12, 13 Ooh, years
in a
to,
loop.
Right. Yeah. To, and put, John Cena in Jack Reacher, make John Cena Jack Reacher.
Yeah, that'd be all right. The new guy's a lot like that. The TV one. The
this idea where we have a series where Randy just goes back in time and recasts movies to make them better.
I like it. I would watch that movie. That sounds great. Let's do it.
What would we call it? Quantum Jordan. What would we call
Quantum
it?
Jordan.
It'd be something good.
Yeah.
Wait. There's a Jack Reacher.
Yeah, on Prime. Yeah, on Prime. It's a series.
Are you thinking Ryan or Jack?
No. Jack. There is a Jack Ryan as well, but there's a Jack Reacher. Okay. It's called.
I had no idea there's a Jack Reacher.
I didn't either. Wait. Now I'm getting confused.
Yeah. I think it's just called Jack Reacher. But the guy who's in it, I don't know if he's a wrestler or a boxer. Maybe he's an MMA guy or something. But he's a monster. Cool. He's a freaking beast.
Oh, I gotta see that. That sounds,
it's really good. Wow. It's my wife's favorite television show. She thinks it's amazing.
Wait. Your wife has a favorite television show?
Yeah, she loves it.
Is that what you're gonna call it?
Yeah. Okay. Television program. What is that?
Y'all watch that on the television?
Well, all right. Her favorite streamed TV show is this thing. I was speaking in 40s lingo over here, I guess. Right. I don't know why I was doing that. It's Alan really good, though. It will make you it'll make you forget the movies, which are movie, or there are two of them. I can't remember. Maybe there were two.
Jack Reacher never go back.
Yeah, that's a great title.
The other thing that will make you forget the Jack Reacher movies is the John Wick movies. And it's too bad they all kind of came out at the same time and stuff.
Yeah, I think John Wick just overshadowed anything that was like an action hero thing for a bit there. Yeah. And I don't know. You were
How many do we need? How many John Wicks do we need? How many movies of John Wick? We on like five now?
No, well, the fourth just happened and there's rumor of a fifth. So I guess we have four.
We're just to clear it up. The TV series on Amazon is called Reacher.
Oh, just straight Reacher. Yeah. Okay.
Just straight Reacher. And Alan Richson, who played Aquaman on Smallville, Bruce McGill, who we always love.
Oh, I love Bruce McGill.
And a bunch of other people. a bunch of other people that
I want I want a TV series called Young John Wick.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Young Wick.
Just be called Wick.
Yeah.
Right.
Wick.
Right.
Jonathan.
No, I'm talking actually really young. Like young Sheldon, but young John Wick. He's like John Wick in middle school. That's what I want.
Yeah. Well, he's getting in fights and stuff.
So
that's
the rumor of a spinoff is that because we don't have any of his early life where he was just a straight up hitman or whatever. And there's talk of like that happening with a young actor, somebody playing it. I don't know.
Randy
if that's a
wants
good
to
idea.
Go way beyond that. He wants to go back to the
to grade school.
Yeah. He has to deal with his parents and homework. And, my gosh.
It's when he traveled in time and met Ted or no Bill, met him and Bill and stuff.
He got special coin to get into the bathroom.
Exactly.
Yeah, great. Favorite coins.
You know what's great though? This has one of my favorite trivia things. Which is this, while filming the car chase scene, which include the minivan and the trailer and all that, it's actually a pretty good sequence. Emily Blunt was instructed to drive fast and then take a hard right turn so that the van would shake. However, she missed her mark and she drove the car into a tree. She later said it was both hilarious and terrifying as she just about killed Tom Cruise. Now, they don't get into the details there, but she claims they almost killed him. Both of them started laughing after the incident.
Yeah.
I don't know how you almost kill someone.
He's like, other people have tried to kill me.
She also claims she has a permanent physical injury from this movie, but it isn't stated what the deal is.
It's she
busted her pinky toe.
It's called
it really hurts.
Boy, I can't think of a good joke. I was trying to think of a chin thing because Brian to like
loop
chin.
Some blunt something in there.
Yeah, she's got all I know is she has to do hot yoga.
She has blunt force trauma. Is that the permanent
blunt force trauma? That's fantastic. There you go. That's much better than my hot yoga. Darn it.
It's all right. We're all just workshopping in real time here. It's
What about J Crew, the Hudson team? Yeah, what are they called? J Squad? Yeah,
J Squad.
The whole J Squad led up by Master Sergeant Bill Paxton. Yeah. Do you guys think that maybe that those are all his children? It just feels like it's like the Hudson character from Aliens had a bunch of kids and then their own crew.
It's funny too because you could loop True Love in there. True Love? No.
Yeah, True Love. No, that's
Big Love.
That's
you could loop that in there as well. I think this was the last thing maybe it wasn't the last thing he made, it was the last thing I saw him in.
He died in 2017, and this is 2014.
Yeah, a few years later. I just don't know of anything about or anything that was big since then. But man, is there anyone who died too soon in Hollywood that leaves, I don't know, that one hurts for all kinds of reasons.
That one did hurt.
He and Phil Hartman are the two that just still sting. Anytime you see anything, you know, that they've done that you've watched a million times, you see them again, it's like, oh my God. So that they would have, their star was just such on the rise. They would have just kept getting better and better and better.
Far cry from his weird science betrayal as his brother. That was fantastic. I love that. That's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
Still so good.
So he did do a bunch of stuff.
Liver served in a dirty ashtray.
He was in that weird Nightcrawler movie. I forgot about that.
The
superhero, but the dude that filmed things. Yeah.
I just want to draw a bright circle around your question. It's like, was there anybody who like left early before doing more great things? Yes. Heath Ledger, Paul Walker, River Phoenix.
Oh,
yes,
of course.
Yes. Philip Seymour Hoffman. Yes.
These are all true, but the problem is it's not that we're lacking those. It's just that there's something about the fact that he spanned all of our nerd shit. All the Terminator stuff, like pretty much hung out with Cameron all day. And this felt like a James Cameron movie, by the way. I think of all the recent FilmSack movies we've seen, this is the most Cameron-esque sort of take I've seen in a while.
Yeah, I can see that.
And having him in it just made it feel more that way, because it's like, well, of course you'd hire him, because, you know, it's a James Cameron movie, even though it isn't. But, I don't know why his stings more than most. I don't know what it is.
I think you nailed it when you said it was, so interconnected with our nerdiness. I mean, Heath Ledger was doing fantastic work at the time. Mm-hmm. But I mean, up until he did the Batman thing, he was kind of wasn't on the nerd radar necessarily. He was doing a lot of things. But
yeah, it was like, I think honestly, before that, I think Heath Ledger, other than, was Brokeback Mountain before or after Batman? I don't remember now.
I think it was before,
for sure. Yes.
Sounds right that it was before.
For sure.
But prior to that, to me, it was the Knight's Tale is all I really knew him from.
Yeah. Knight's Tale, Ten Things.
Yeah, we got to watch that. Yeah. We need to do Knight's Tale. It's been too long.
Yeah.
The only
time I ever saw that, by the way, was on a flight from Denver to Australia. And this was back before you had TVs in the seats in front of you. So they actually had the one big screen in the middle of the plane.
Yeah.
And I put on headphones and I went to sleep.
The only thing I remember about that movie is me bitching about, oh, this is not period appropriate.
Right.
Play this song. No, I'm scared.
Yeah.
It was so weird. I eventually appreciated it, but when the first time I saw it, it was like a weird, it's like your friend putting some Dr. Pepper and, you know, Sprite together and going, here, drink this. And at first, like, okay.
It's a little funky. It's a weird combination. Yeah. It's a cool movie though. I really like it.
Yeah. I have it in like the same category as, The Princess Bride, where you're supposed to embrace the funny. You know, it's the point, right?
Yeah. I don't know if you guys knew this. In the original manga, Rita was an American. That's weird. Also, her name was Full Metal Bitch.
Yes.
That was her actual name.
That was her name.
Yeah. Well, they showed that here, too. They called her Full Metal Bitch.
Did they call her that? I missed that.
Yeah.
On the bus. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then
the dude in J Squad starts calling her that before he gets punched in the face.
Oh, that's right.
He gets Full Metal.
Yeah, that's right. Yep. He gets his A kicked.
Among the many things that I wrote down that the movie doesn't want to explain to me, it does not want to explain to me why she's the only one who uses huge swords.
Why she has a cloud
skin. The manga covers that because it is something that you do not have to replenish. So like ammo, you have to replenish. But they don't explain it to you.
Well, it's because I think the explanation is she's done this 300 times. She's kind of found her way, whatever her ways are.
Yeah.
I think that's probably mostly I mean,
you can't help but expect she's going to eventually show him how to use a sword. Like they're going to have infinite time to train him.
Right.
He wields his own thing, right? It's like a samurai thing, right? He has to forge his own weapon and stuff.
In the manga?
His own Muramasa
blade. I'm once again referencing the manga. Apologize.
No, listen.
Baseball knowledge.
The manga fans need representation. I'm glad you're here.
Right.
I think it's good.
Yeah. It is a great weapon. It does feel like it is, you know, it's the slowest thing you can use against aliens that feel like they're on, just RPM 78 versus
wait till you see the weapon in the manga. Boy, that thing is outrageously large.
Yeah,
which sounds right.
My other thing was, like, if you have infinite days to come up with a solution, you're probably going to try to invent new weapons altogether, right? You're going to go study, all right, what are these things, what's a real weakness, right? And you're going to try to find some kind of like spread bombs and you know, there's something, there's got to be something.
When these movies are good, one of the things they do that's good, in my opinion, is that they make you forget about the tedium that is all the in-between bits. So you know, when you do your first couple of loops, well, yeah, you've got to figure out a way to get out of the clutches of the army and roll under the truck and escape while everyone's doing push-ups and all that stuff.
When you get smooshed that first
time. Oh yeah, that was great.
Yeah,
but you got to do all that to get there, and then once you're there you're good to go. But then the movie doesn't dwell on a bunch of dead time that you would always have. And this is true of, I guess, Groundhog Day as well, or, you know, any good time loop movie. You want the audience to sort of forget that, yeah, there is just some time to fill, and that he's going to be walking around doing shit all during that time.
Right. You can't like show it from the perspective of the character where it's just the same clip over and over again. Right. You got to reveal little pieces at a time.
You really just have to show what he changes, what he does differently every time, or you show it in a very quick cut, like the on your feet, maggot, on your feet, maggot, on your feet, maggot. Like, you know, just push it through.
Which is why when I say I would have liked to see someone else make this movie, I would have liked to see Jon Favreau make this movie because there would have been a little bit more of him doing weird things every night, like every 10 loops.
Sure.
He just, you know what? He just breaks off base and goes to a restaurant. You know what I mean?
He shoots that guy who kicks him while he's laying on the duffel bags. Just pulls out a gun and shoots. I guess he doesn't wake up with a gun, but still.
Yeah.
And if Jon Favreau, it would have had to be longer, but Jon Favreau would have let us know who all these J. Crew people are, would have like given them
J. Crew.
They would have given them something, you know?
Yeah, like, they had very little. That is one thing I didn't remember from my first. I've seen the movie, I think this is my fourth time maybe, but the first three viewings, I don't remember the J. Crew being so throwaway. I thought they had a bigger role.
Yeah, I thought they had a bigger part to play.
Yeah. Earlier
on,
they're
really just there as a distraction. They're there to distract Paxton while Tom Cruise uses different methods to get away. But you do wonder, like, all right, well, so he goes and he meets the crew. They all eat playing cards. And then there's all this time before the next morning when he's jogging, you know, when he's doing calisthenics in the morning or when they get into the plane and fly off to where, what's he doing during that time? Like, how come he's not trying in the middle of the night, do a little escape thing or do something?
Yeah. And they don't ever show it. And I guess, again, it's like sleight of hand a little bit. We're not really paying attention to that too closely. And it's and a good filmmaker knows how to make that work. And I think it worked really well here. I can't think of too many times where I stopped and went, now wait a minute. The only time I really did that was when the time he wakes up is when he's in the luggage every time, laying out there on the tarmac.
He's out on a runway for some reason.
Well, how is that chosen that way? Because when he got hit with the alpha and it took a face full of blue goo.
Right.
Which is gnarly, by the way. I'll just tell you right now.
Gross.
That's gross.
To come back and talk to that.
That was the first time he was conscious. So a day in this aspect is the time you wake up to the time you go to bed. So it's not like sun
midnight
up.
It's midnight.
Right. It is the last time that he became conscious that he can reset.
Okay. Is that the case? Because that actually works for me.
That was my take.
I was literally thinking, what is his save point and why is it there?
Right. So video game. It's exactly how you play video games.
It really
games.
Is. Yeah.
Get good noob. You play an area until you get good.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, oh, I'm not ready for the big boss yet. Let's go hit some shrines and get some hearts. Yeah.
So the answer to your what goes on overnight thing is he doesn't fall asleep. He's so wired and scared and so forth that he's just up all night.
Yeah.
Right.
I could see that.
And that's because he hasn't reset, right? Mm-hmm.
So does he never sleep? Because it's only a day, right? It's a day.
Yeah, but we do still get a night thing where it's after after he rolls away under the Jeep. We get the night thing where the two guys in J Squad kind of confront him.
Oh, right.
And say, hey, you made us have to do all those push-ups, blah, blah, blah. That obviously occurs between the his arrival and his meeting of J Squad, and before they go out and fight the next morning. So what you know, does he go through that every night as well after he does the Jeep thing? Or does he just avoid that part of the base?
That's a good point.
I just really don't think the movie wants to be very clear on a bunch of stuff like that.
It doesn't need to be, really. Yeah, it honestly doesn't need to be. But it would be interesting to look, like, really write down what is Cage's quote-unquote perfect day to get to the point where he and Emily Blunt can kind of take off the next morning, go get a nice little RV,
that's exactly what Groundhog did to spoil all of us, is that it gave us the conclusion day, right? We get to see him, all the fruits of all his labors all come together in one perfect day.
Yeah.
Well, yes and no, because remember that first time he does that perfect day, and he's thinking, all right, I did everything right, and he still wakes up the next morning because Groundhog Day, he hasn't changed. He's done the perfect day. He saved the kid falling out of the tree. He, taught so-and-so how to play, or no, he learns how to play piano and makes the piano teacher's day and all this stuff. He has his perfect day. He even woos Annie McDowell and gets her to come back to the hotel with her, with him some ice cream and blah, blah, blah. But it's because he hasn't changed that it still resets the next day. And you feel that, like, so many steps forward and then so many more steps back. And I like that this film kind of had a little bit of that. Like, he gets pretty far in a few of those and you're thinking, all right, this is going to be it. And then there's no Omega in the bottom of the dam.
Right. I also really liked how hung up he got in the knowing that she was going to die after the helicopter, and that he hinted, he didn't say exactly how long, but he hinted it, that he has let that one loop a lot because he just didn't want to see her die. And in every scenario she was dying. And it made me think, oh man, has he gone like 100 of these? Is he just like, still trying?
Tremendous action sequence, by the way, with really the helicopter coming into the barn.
Yeah, it was really good.
Wow. I don't even want to go back and look at it.
You know that Tom Cruise wanted some of that to be real. Whatever parts could be real, it was real.
He wants to do his own stunts. He wants to have as many practical effects. There was arguments over doing CGI exoskeleton suits versus doing practical exoskeleton suits, and obviously it works so much better when you see him kind of lumbering along, as we mentioned at the beginning, him all tiny in his exoskeleton suit compared to everybody else in J Squad.
It was a major choice. It was a major positive choice in the film. I'm really glad they did
for
that.
Sure.
Yeah. It made a big difference for me.
No, I want a 3D print one of those if somebody would just upload the model.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
Yeah, if somebody could just do the work.
Someone do the work so I can print it. Yeah.
I've already done my inventing.
So I need to press play.
I want to hit play.
Right.
That's funny.
Come on,
yeah, but it's like there is a that's interesting you bring all this up, because I actually think most of the action sequences are extremely cool, and the ones that are a combination of CG because the creatures or whatever are really well meshed with the live action. And I'm not saying, you know, we've kind of perfected things by 2014 in a relatively real way. You still see improvements today, but it all this looked real good to me. Like, none of this I was like, oh boy, that didn't age very well, or oh, that looks like a green screen or whatever. And that made me real happy. I didn't get distracted by
any
of it. It's
only, 9 years? So almost 10 years, pretty close now, right? So,
well, 10 years used to be such a gap, you know?
Yeah.
Like the difference between, think of the difference between Jurassic Park 93 and 1983. The jump between that decade.
This is going to be an interesting time period, because movies in the last few years have suffered from what we've talked about. I forget which show we talked about. I don't think our sci-fi special, where CGI has kind of taken a dip right now. So we're actually going backwards because the studios aren't willing to front the money and the artists aren't willing to work for free anymore. So it's going to be an interesting time to come back and look in 2014 and go, oh, that didn't hold up well. That's because there was a few steps back.
There was one thing in this movie where I was like, oh, video game footage, that's not good. And it was when all the planes are all flying in the sky. And I just felt like, oh, I feel like I'm not seeing enough diversity of how they would look.
Yeah.
And how they
too
would
much
like
copy paste.
Yeah. It's like watching it's like a Halo sequence or something. Yeah. I could see that. And it's, still miles above what they could have done
for sure.
A decade ago. Yeah.
Absolutely. Right. It's just the whole conceit of the movie is that the world would assemble in Dover and right. and then go, you know, go over, hop over the channel and attack. Like I said, you know, like Shades of World War II, right?
Right.
And I, you know, like you have to show that. You can't just talk about it. You can't have Bill Paxton yell about it. You have to show that. And that's really hard to depict.
Yeah.
You know?
I felt a little chicken in the bucket with Bill Paxton's character.
Yeah.
Because it just, there was no, in the end, you know, he's fine. He's still a drill sergeant doing what he does. And, right. And everything's cool now and whatever because of what they did. But we don't get any kind of like.
That's him. Because he's eventually eclipsed, right? I mean, he's eclipsed by Tom Cruise's character. He becomes unimportant to the outcome, right?
So, yeah. I just would have, I don't know what I wanted out of it. Maybe just a little grin at the end or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I know. Him lay on the ground, say, word, you did good, boy, or something like that, you know? Just a little, yeah.
Just a little
can
something.
Can I have a triple alert?
Yeah, of course. Those are always available to us. Here we go.
Do you have to always talk like a master sergeant? Like, is it like,
yeah, there, you got to roll
never,
the play.
There's never a moment where you're just not, you know, like even Full Metal Jacket, right? There's a moment where Arlie Ermey is like just sitting there talking to people like a normal human being. I mean, I like it. I like the master sergeant nonsense where everything's a weird metaphor about dying in glory. But man, I'm just like, every word, every line.
If we would have gotten more of Bill Paxton's character through the movie, like a later scene when, you know, they're having a drink together and he says, I don't know what you mean about this whole living the same day over and over again, but I guess you're an all right guy, Cage.
Right.
You know, so like that. Then you'd,
that would have been a good son.
Oh, I hate it, but I love it.
I hate it so much.
Yeah. But yeah, he's kind of he's a stereotype, you know.
Yeah.
But I really like it. I really like his stereotype, and I like that it was Bill Paxton. So I have no complaints. I just feel like he didn't really get much at the end, and maybe it's because he died later, and I'm just mad that he's not around anymore. I don't know.
He really died.
I don't know what's going on.
You know, Brendan Gleeson doesn't get much in the end. He's a little chicken buckety, right? Like he could have been in that final sequence. This movie has a huge Hollywood ending, and he could have, you know, like. They could have had one last encounter, the two of them, where they actually say words and stuff. the crazy inventor guy, like Emily Blunt's right hand man, he could have gotten some sort of conclusion, but
we ain't got time for that.
We got no time for that. Yeah, it's let's talk about the Hollywood ending for a second. I'm torn on this.
Yeah.
This point, because if there's any part of the movie that doesn't quite make sense to me, it's that why is he waking up to the resolution? I guess I understand.
Why is he waking up 2 days before? You know,
I thought about that.
Yeah.
He's waking up before his meeting with Gleeson.
Right.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Why? I think
it's a nested loop. I thought about this a little bit. It's a nested loop because the alien is looping the days to the point where Tom Cruise is on the helicopter, right? That's his previous wake up time. So I was like, so it reset before. So it was like one step further back. Right. I was trying to figure it out. It's like a nested loop. Go ahead.
So the Omega and he become intertwined, right?
Yeah. Right.
And the Omega is, you know, the Omega is so powerful that it uses him looping to learn how to defeat humanity. Right.
Right.
And he's also using that power to try to learn the opposite.
So while he's looping, the other thing is looping too, right? It's a nested loop of some sort.
It's like my take on it was in the moment he kills the Omega and he gains a ridiculous bunch of power that he doesn't know what to do with. In that final moment underwater, by the way, we need to talk about underwater movies. But in that final moment where, you know, his eyes go black,
he
gets all the power and he decides, okay, I am going to now go back 72 hours or whatever he decided. But then, of course, when he wakes up 72 hours previous, he doesn't know that he decided. All the memories of the other stuff.
Right. Yeah, that's fair. That's a good. I don't know. It just still kind of left me with like, everything's good.
We're not going to acknowledge this.
Yeah. We're just going to go ahead and move forward. And I do like this concept of he's meeting for her for the first time.
Yeah.
And because in my mind, I see the date after. It's like, okay, I'll have coffee with you. Then they go get coffee And he tells her what he's done and saw, and she'll go, me too, I did that same thing. Like, cause she's still been through the 300 at this point.
Sure.
She did all those loops. So she's not like, in Groundhog Day, it's not like Andy McDowell doesn't know anything, even in the final loop. Right.
But it she knows is absolutely still. The trope of hero gets a girl.
Well, like, for sure.
A girl.
Yeah. There's your Hollywood
just
title.
Something.
Yeah. Right. I guess we don't know if he does. We don't get resolution on whether he does. Because she just looks up and goes, what do you want? And he smiles and laughs and then rolls credits. Yeah. is it my chin? Is it my chin? Is that the problem? For those who wonder why we keep bringing up the chin, Ibbot and I have had this conversation for a long time. You're not a big fan of that kind of chin, but you'll allow it for
she's
her.
She's got a cleft chin. Yeah, she wears it well. And she's a beautiful woman.
Better than
and,
most.
And,
yeah.
I have no problem with the Emily Blunt chin.
Yeah. And what's your favorite Emily Blunt? Someone give me something. Let's strike off Oppenheimer for now.
Seeing it tomorrow morning, by the way.
Oh, you are? Very nice.
Yeah. Nice.
Sicario for me. I love her in that.
Oh, darn it. Scott picked mine.
Sunshine Cleaning.
Oh, also good.
Sunshine Cleaning. Tim has seen that one.
You know what?
I've told you, I'm a big fan of The Devil Wears Prada, and she has a choice role in that movie.
I've never
seen
that.
Can I go come clean? And I was going to say, I've never seen that one either. And I know that's one of those, like, you haven't seen The Devil Wears Prada? Yeah, some people actually make. That's the
me either.
I get that every time I say that I haven't seen it. People freak out. Yeah. Which was weird to me because I didn't know it was a thing I was required to see, but apparently I'm supposed to see it.
Apparently you are. You're required to see
it. Yeah, she's great, though. Like, name something she's bad in. I can't think of anything. I like the Mary Poppins reboot thing. I thought that was great.
I love that.
Yeah, she was great in that.
I like that Mary Poppins thing.
You've seen Mary Poppins Returns.
Quiet Place 1 and 2. Amazing.
I've seen Mary Poppins Returns. Yeah. Come on now.
Hey, that was awesome.
Seen Mary Poppins Returns? Let's
Yeah, that movie's great. Totally worth seeing. But she's kind of a presence. Like I think I saw her in one of her first roles just recently when I watched that Charlie Wilson's War in came from 07. Pretty sure it was her first or close to her first American film, and she was only in that thing for like maybe 10 minutes. And I saw that and went, oh, they have no idea. They have no idea who they have here.
Yeah. She even has no idea at that point what kind of star she's going to become. Yeah,
she's awesome. Freaking love her.
Yeah.
What's that one with, what's the one with Matt Damon? She's great, man.
Hold on. I can do this.
The small. What is it? What does he do?
Frick, he's like a,
is that what you're about to say? There?
No, he's like
no.
He's like ex spy or something. Oh, is it the Adjustment Bureau? Am I thinking of that? Hold on.
Yes. You're thinking of the Adjustment Bureau.
I like that movie a lot.
Not enough to remember the name, but
and she was great in that. Yeah. And that was before all this. That was 2011. So I guess she was.
I keep thinking I'm going to do a bonus episode called The Dick List, where it's just everything based on Philip K. Dick.
Oh, nice.
It's not where I thought you were going to go with that.
And Adjustment Bureau is way up on that list.
It's good. It's good. I don't know. I feel like no one's seen it. I don't mean just here, but like the world. Yeah. Like I feel like it just got missed or passed over, but it's great. I think people probably thought, oh, what is this, another Bourne or Bourne Identity attempt or something? Right. It wasn't that at all. It's very, very good. Let's see. Was there any other trivia that was interesting? Jeremy Piven was in this, but he was only in it for reshoots, and then they cut the reshoots. Okay. So I still don't know what he was or who he was supposed to be.
Yeah, I'd love to know. Like, was he a member of J Squad? No, probably not, because it'd be really hard to take him out of a role like that and not make it noticeable. So is he?
I don't know.
Another scientist? Or I really would love to know.
Yeah, he seems like he's the type. He's almost like the Cruise character a little bit, like kind of a weasel who's really
trying to get out of
trying to save his own ass.
He should have been the mad inventor. Like, that's a really good role for Jeremy Piven, right?
Oh, I like that British actor who did it, though. He's good.
Yeah,
but I'm with you. Could have filled those shoes. What's that guy's name? I like
that guy is Kick Gurry. Is that right?
No.
Jonas Armstrong. Sorry.
Yeah,
Not.
Try again. Nope.
It's Noah Taylor.
Noah
Taylor. Okay.
Yeah. We've seen him in Peaky Blinders and Charlie the Chocolate Factory. He's Charlie's dad, but we've also seen him in with Tom Cruise in Vanilla Sky.
That's right.
Tech support for the thing that Tom Cruise is going through in that film, too.
Yeah, he was Hitler on Preacher. We saw him in The Life Aquatic here on
the
show.
Right, I forgot he was Hitler. Yes.
Almost famous. He's been in a million things.
Yeah.
He's great. I never get tired of that guy.
For the size of the cast of this movie, which is tiny, we have seen them so much. This is our 10th Tom Cruise movie. This is our 8th Bill Paxton movie.
Oh, wow.
We've seen Brendan Gleeson 3 times before this. It's really amazing how much these people.
Hold on. Let's have a little Gleeson fun. I'm going to say we've seen, I'm not going to look it up. Wasn't there a zombie thing he was in?
So one of them was a movie that I adore, and the other three of you didn't like it all.
Mia Mora, would you adore? Tell us.
You adored it and we didn't like it?
Yep, that's exactly right.
I feel like that should make it obvious. I can't think of what it would be.
Yeah.
Episode of Film Sack that lives in my memory because I just felt
retrograde.
No, I don't think Brendan Gleeson farted near that movie. I can't think of what it would be.
He plays like the old intense like town mayor.
The village.
Okay. Yeah, I don't like the village.
I know. Believe me, I know.
Three of us don't like the village.
I've heard your hate.
Yeah, I felt your hate. Yeah, the village is whatever. The other two
we watched quite some time ago. It's AI and Mission Impossible 2.
Oh, am I too? Interesting. Oh,
we haven't seen Assassin's Creed for this, huh?
No.
Nope.
We should.
Feels like we need to.
Feels necessary, doesn't it?
Were you just feeling? Hopeful that we had?
You know what?
I was hopeful that we've already done it and we don't have to do it.
You know what else? Go ahead.
I just want to say our Bill Paxton list. Like, if you're going to say, I'm going to sit down and listen to eight episodes of Film Sack or watch the movies, I would say just watch the Bill Paxton list. It's Aliens, Commando, Predator 2, Stripes, The Terminator, True Lies, Twister. Those are all fun movies.
You know what? You can't go wrong with anything you just listed. Everything in there. That's why I missed the guy. Did he ever do anything stupid? No. I'm sure he did.
Ask for that. Somebody will find it.
I'm sure he did. I'm sure there's some horrible film, but I'm just saying, like, I have such strong feelings for that guy.
Yeah.
Looking for his lowest rated film. Give me a minute.
Yeah, see what you can find.
In the meantime, I'll say that we need to watch Oblivion because I thought that's what we was watching this week. It was the movie in 2013.
I still haven't seen Oblivion. I would love to watch it here.
He had two years running, had the worst names for movies, Oblivion and then Edge of Tomorrow. And I always get them confused. And I could have swore we were watching Oblivion this week.
So Oblivion's him, Morgan Freeman, I think, is in that, right?
Is Morgan Freeman in that one? I think, yes, he is.
He's like
some
kind of wise desert dwelling other planet guy or something.
Right. Both of them are kind of future spacey kind of things.
Yeah.
That's the one I always confuse with the Matt Damon thing where he's
on Earth, Halo Planet.
Yes, exactly. The planet, the ring planet.
Elysium. Elysium.
Yeah. I always get Oblivion and Elysium.
Yeah, I do too. I get those confused too.
You know what? Hearing the names back to back, I don't blame you.
Now I'm not even sure I've even seen Oblivion. I think maybe just in the trailers.
I have not seen Oblivion or Elysium, actually, so I would be down for
I've
both.
I've definitely seen Elysium. Okay.
Because Elysium was the Neil Blomkamp thing. It was like his first movie since.
Right.
It was between Chappie and District 9.
Yeah.
And I remember going, I should watch that. And then I think the reviews were kind of middling, and I just didn't do it.
Yeah. Oblivion seems to be somewhat appreciated. Just getting a 7 out of 10 on IMDb.
I will say this, even though I've not seen the movie, what I have seen of it, I like the look of it.
Yeah.
They're both gorgeous movies, Oblivion and Elysium. And I think that might be what... You know why I confuse them, because they have a very similar look to them.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
that's the only thing I can. That's the only explanation possible.
It's two names that have absolutely. They could be just the vaguest words. You could just say,
yeah,
blue. I mean,
right? Yeah, so vague. Exactly.
A movie named Blue.
It feels like they have so little to do with what the movie's about.
Right.
Kind of like Edge of Tomorrow. Like, give me.
Yeah.
The worst example of that, by the way, was changing. Cop gives waitress $1 million tip to It Could Happen to You.
Oh, I hate that. Like,
right.
Every movie could happen to you.
Yeah. Everything could happen to you. That sucks. I didn't know that was the origin of that. That annoys me.
Yes.
I'm going to go
yes.
to bed annoyed tonight. I'm not going to
sorry, I didn't mean to do that.
My whole day is
Paxton
different.
Answer, Randy?
Oh, there's so many. It's unfortunate. I wish I hadn't looked.
You wish this was just all
of the Bill Paxton stinkers.
Yeah.
A lot of them I've never even heard of. Like he's got a 0% on Rotten Tomatoes movie in here that I've never heard of. So I just want to point out that he, you know, like as I said, he was in Predator 2, and boy did that movie get low ratings.
Yeah, reviews.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's funny. It's true.
Stupid. It's dumb. Stupid. I like it. I
enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. It was okay. Sign me up.
I mean, and it also it's a movie that has like Gary Busey. It's like loaded to fail.
Yeah. Right. Preloaded to fail.
Yeah, I've been. Do yourselves a favor. I don't know which was the favor though. Either to avoid it or to watch his TikToks. I'm not sure which I'm actually recommending here, because he is really out of it now. And
Oh yeah.
He says some weird, like he's eating pancakes in one of these videos, and then just goes off.
You believe he's eating pancakes is what you mean to say.
Well,
you believe he's eating pancakes.
I'm not even sure he believes it. Like he's saying the weirdest things. I don't know what.
I'll be glad when we get past this point of people questioning reality and just everybody can agree on a common reality. I would be glad when we get past that.
Yeah, can we get there quicker than later? That'd be awesome. I'm sick of everybody's fake reality.
I'm sick of living in the Matrix. All right.
Yeah.
Objectively, this is reality. I would like that, please.
Been here long enough. I think I can kind of tell what's real and what isn't.
Right.
I was surprised this is only our second Doug Liman movie. I really thought we were more up in Doug Liman, but no.
Doug Liman
hasn't really made a bunch of movies that are like notable.
Right.
What's the other one? I don't know the other one that we've seen.
The Bourne Identity, the first one.
Oh, first time. Okay.
Well, that was the movie previous to this, right? That came out like, was it just like a year or two before this?
No, the first one was like 2008 or something, wasn't it?
Okay.
My memory's a little iffy on that. I'm not sure.
Right.
By the way, I am trying to make it so that we wrap up Hot Action Movie Summer with the third Bourne movie, so we can put a
thank you.
Right.
Thank you for your work.
I wasn't gonna say. I had a thing I was gonna say. What was it? I hate when I have a thing.
Oh yeah, Doug Liman. We was talking about Doug Liman and me and Randy get off.
Oh, I know what I was gonna say. The guy, the Get Up Maggot guy. I thought this whole movie until the end was Tony Todd. I thought it was him.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yep. I went. I even had stuff written down.
They didn't show him very well, right? They never really like got a good look at him. They're just like constantly rolling past him.
He's so quick, right? The only time you get him is in the initial path when he actually talks with Paxton. They do kind of the handoff of Cruz, but all the rest of the time he's there just to kick Tom, say that line and GTFO.
Yep. Yeah, and the whole time I'm like writing jokes about how he's going to shoot bees out of his mouth and I was going to do it for the show.
Oh, they're going to love this. I'm hilarious.
Yeah, and then I'm like, wait a minute, is that really Tony Todd? And I looked it up and it's like, no, that looks like Tony Todd 20 years ago, but it ain't Tony Todd.
It's Terrence Maynard.
Yeah.
We previously saw him on Reign of Fire.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
And I love Reign of Fire.
He is currently Artorias on the Witcher series.
Oh. I've seen him in there before.
Look at that.
He's great. I just saying, when there's a Tony Todd biopic, hire that guy.
Right.
Because apparently I will believe
it. I can't even find him in the credits.
Yeah.
This movie could have done with a little more stunt casting. Like that guy, like that character that just screams at Tom Cruise a few times, that could have been somebody notable.
The dropship pilot? Is that what you're talking about?
The guy we're talking about. This guy.
The guy that
kept yelling, get up, maggot.
Get up, maggot. On your feet, maggot.
Yeah, on your feet.
I don't know
maggot,
why I always want that. I just want a little bit more stunt casting. Like, make one of the J Squad Patton Oswalt. Just like, give me some, you know, something that really makes me blink.
Yeah,
you know?
Right. I guess so. For some reason, I thought they were kind of like that, but it's been a while, so I couldn't remember who they cast as these J Squad people. In my head, they were people that were kind of.
I only accept great J Crew. I'm sorry,
but J Crew. Sorry, I read my writer. I should have paid attention to what I said.
Right.
The small print. But yeah, like it's I don't know, like whatever. This movie's supposed to focus on these two characters, and they did a good job of doing that.
They did a great job.
Yeah. It's just really good. I just don't have a ton of criticism for it. I find it really entertaining. Yeah.
It's just got the only problems it has are really the problems that you would have in any time loop movie. That's just all it really has.
Yeah, and then this one has less than usual, so it's like even hard to criticize it on that level. So, you know, I'm trying to think of a bad time loop movie other than Looper. Is there one that that comes to mind?
That's not, Looper's not a time fine.
Loop movie. It's not a time
Looper.
Loop.
Or it's called Looper.
Wait, take that back. It kind of is, right? Because it's got one massive time loop that only Bruce Willis is.
Yeah.
No, it's not even a loop, though, because he only experiences it once.
That's true.
It's just a time travel. It's just time, a bad time travel.
It's movie. Bad time yeah. travel, yeah.
And yeah, I'm trying to think of a bad time loop movie. I mean, there's probably some stuff that we've seen. I know there was a thing that took place on in an office building called 1201 that got a lot of attention because it was the first sci-fi thing to do this after Groundhog Day, but I don't remember seeing it. I think it was made for TV.
Was it
but
good?
I'm sure there's some bad time loop movies
made
out there.
TV, yeah. Television?
Well, since we've made you the time loop expert, it's your job now to find all
of them. I'll find one. Madeline's was kind of that and kind of bad. Yeah, because it was basically a couple invents a time machine, but at the same time every day, the woman who goes into the time machine reappears, causing more and more multiple copies of herself to exist on Earth. Ooh. And they have to kill every single one as soon as she comes out. So it's it's a time machine, like time loop movie, and basically it sucks at both.
I remember that I've seen Source Code and I didn't like it, but I don't remember why.
Oh, Source Code's the...
Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah, Bowie Jr.
Never
directed
did see
it.
That.
I don't remember if I've seen it either.
The train. He's on a train or something?
Yes, that's right. And he has to keep the train from exploding.
Yeah, and it's your Warcraft director guy.
Duncan Jones.
I mean, I feel like he's had... We all like Duncan Jones, but I feel like he's had a little bad luck since Moon. You know?
Yeah.
Moon was like this breakout, and then you're like, okay, now what's next? And you're like, it's okay. It's not the worst thing you'll ever see. That's my Dunaway voice.
Not the worst. I mean,
I watched
a dog take a crap this morning in my front yard. So that's a movie.
You know, he's working on a movie of the comic Rogue Trooper.
That's a comedy.
Yeah, there's a comic. There's a comic book called Rogue Trooper.
I haven't heard of that.
I'm sorry. The comic book is called 2000 AD. The movie is called Rogue Trooper.
Oh my god, just use good
Dredd
names.
That's the comic that Judge Dredd appeared in. So it's a continuation of that comic.
Really?
Yeah.
But not so
Why
much on the Dredds.
Great names.
But not necessarily like it's Judge Dredd universe, but not necessarily featuring Judge Dredd.
I'm into that, dude.
Yeah.
Because that's a really fun world. And the Dredd was great. I've loved Dredd, the newer one. Mm-hmm. The old one kind of sucked. But the comic has always been amazing. And the great thing about the comics is they don't just focus on the judges.
Right.
There's all sorts of shit in that world. And that's
whole world
very
is,
cool.
Yeah, it's an effed up world. And it's great to see. Like, great world building in the whole thing.
Yeah, you got
and
me
Duncan
excited,
Jones
though.
Is going to – he's on pace to make a movie every 6 years. and I guess they're never going to be huge. They're just going to be like, oh, that's cool. And then you wait 6 years.
Yeah, that could be huge for me. But I realize huge for me isn't huge for the, you know, for it's not Barbie huge. My huge is different huge.
Oh yeah, it's no big Barbie. I mean, no.
No, who's big? No one's got big Barbie money.
No one's got that.
No. This movie, by the way, speaking of years, was set in the year 2000. This film. Or 20, I'm sorry, not 2000, 2020.
Yeah,
2020.
Yeah. Like, well, pandemic, giant aliens, about the same thing.
Yeah, it's not really that different, I guess, in the end.
I really would prefer it if they would say, like, overtly say, you know, the day after tomorrow, like, in the near future, the near future, this is where this is set, because, like, you can get away with saying all of this cool tech, all the mech tech, all the weird, the flying machines and stuff, like we got it from the aliens,
right.
we suddenly advanced because they showed up.
Technology, whether we like it or not, technology makes huge leaps forward based on how active we are in the military, right? Military tech always
whether we like it or not
that's where it comes.
It amplifies the advancement and probably cuts out a lot of testing.
It's like, yeah,
like
exactly,
that stay on when you fall out of
you're right truck. You got a whole society of people that you can just pull from and go, we need some test subjects. Come on. Get in here. Here's war. We got to do it. Come on.
Right. Here's the truth. The industrial complex thing, military industrial complex, and porn are the two biggest drivers of technology.
Yeah, that's nobody's faster to embrace a new technology when it comes to multimedia than the porn industry, right? It's like, what we got?
Yeah. VR?
Get some Blu-rays. We're first.
We got your VR right here, baby. You want you want some 360 video? Actually, I guess I don't know how those will innovate. Nobody's using that for anything else. But yeah, that's interesting.
Somebody's writing some serious AI porn right now. I don't know where it's going on. I'm sure it's behind the scenes, but I'm sure it's...
Well, AI has already started writing AI porn. We just haven't found it yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. As soon as it gets through doing its business,
Let us know. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Can we talk about a potential sequel of...
There's talk of soon.
The day after The Edge of Tomorrow?
Edge of Live, sequel. Die, repeat, and repeat.
Yeah. So I guess Emily Blunt's been pining, like pushing for it. She wants it. I don't know where Tom Cruise's head is at. Probably he'd be cool, I guess. I don't know.
They got plenty of more story. I mean, there's plenty of story left.
Well, what do they do? I mean, do the aliens invade again? And so they kind of have to...
Well, I mean, they surely didn't kill... Well, the war is still going on, so surely they didn't kill all of them. They've just found a way... to eliminate
The Omega is destroyed. The single, is the it, one alien that controlled everything.
Did it not turd out another one somewhere?
Well, have you never seen aliens?
There's
got to be another Omega on another planet or on their home planet.
Yeah, they said that's one of the things they said. They said that's how they propagate. They propagate throughout the universe doing this. So yeah, they're like the Borg. They're going to show up again.
Think of it as StarCraft. It's like, okay, here's an Overlord. Well, if you kill that one, there's always other ones. Like,
right.
So sure.
I mean, yeah, and you can always just justify a sequel. Screenwriters really good at coming up with reasons for sequels. I just couldn't help thinking I don't want Tom Cruise.
Really?
Like Tom Cruise, in this movie, he does this very specific thing that's comedic and he has a ton of character development. And I never wanted to see the Luke Skywalker from the books where he's like the most powerful being in the galaxy. Right. I never wanted to see that in movies. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm with you,
but I definitely want a cameo. I definitely want Tom Cruise to show up.
Here's what it'll be. Here's a prediction right here from me, and let's hope my prediction does not come true. it'll be the child of Cage and Rita that's out fighting in the trenches on another planet.
His name will be John Connor.
This time we're taking
he'll get the ooze in the face and
this time we're taking a fight to them.
Oh, I really hope it isn't that. I hope what you describe is not. No, you do not want it to be that. I promise you don't.
I've seen Starship Troopers. I want that.
I mean, look, I like Starship Troopers. Have we seen that here?
Oh my god, yes. It's like a pillar of film sack, right? It's
like it. Yeah.
I'm just making sure because sometimes
we always assume we did. I certainly assume we did.
We absolutely have. Sometimes I'm like, maybe no. There is no question in my mind, absolute 100% we've done that.
You're sure of it. Wouldn't it be funny if we didn't?
I'm 100% sure. And if you tell me anything else, I'm just going to quit life because there's no sense in moving on.
That'll be the end of that.
It was FilmSack 142.
Oh, okay. Right. Early then.
And it was 11 years ago.
Wow. Yeah, wow.
I told you, you guys are in my loop.
According to whatever this website is, Christopher McQuarrie actually told Collider that back in 2015 that they have an idea for the sequel already locked and loaded.
Oh.
So it's, and then he said, Doug Liman says, told IGN, he says, it's going to revolutionize how people make sequels.
Oh, really?
And then he let it slip that it's a sequel that's also a prequel.
Oh, shit. Ah,
there you go. There you go. There's some writer right now in a picket line. Just thinking about it. Thinking about it.
Right. Somebody in a picket line.
Doing a screenwriting treatment on their iPhone while they're...
Yeah. They're not writing. They're just thinking about it because that would be against the rules. So, they're just thinking about it.
Yes. Yeah, you can only think. I would love a sequel. I won't lie. I think it'd be great. Yeah. Even if they screw it up, let's try. Give it a try. You know,
give it a try.
I'm not precious about this to that point where I'd say don't.
Oh no, this is. I don't think. Is anybody precious about this movie?
I mean, I like it a lot.
They ruined the lore.
I like it a lot. I don't think it's like that though, where it's like
there are tons of people.
It's not untouchable. Yeah.
There are a lot of people out there who are precious on the overall point. Like we hear all the time from like listeners who are like, I don't want sequels. I want Hollywood to make something new.
Come up with original ideas.
Yeah, people say that, but they don't want. Nobody's asking to get rid of Empire Strikes Back, are they? Nobody's asking for Avengers Endgame to go away. Like, what you marketing want is good content. You don't care.
Yeah.
Like, this idea that sequels are the worst, that's the problem with Hollywood. F off. You love sequels. No, they're only...
Marketing, yeah. Marketing is very expensive. It's a large part of a budget. And if you can eliminate that or bring it way down, I mean, it was marketing for Barbie, but was it really marketing for Barbie that really went to the edge? Right.
I mean, it was a lot of Barbie was really smart marketing. I give them that.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. But I just love that they wrapped a Malibu mansion in pink. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. And they went pretty nuts with it. The only thing close to this, funny enough, is a video game. I think about the marketing budget behind Diablo 4 was insane to me how much there was going on with that game before they launched it. And I think it worked. Like, I think it was successful at what it did. And it got lucky with a few things, like the fires from Canada were all over New York, or the smoke anyway. And so and that sign, that big ominous sign with Lilith on it going across the city, just looked cool. So sometimes you get lucky with that. But I think a movie can be both good and over-marketed, you know, market crazy. I think it's okay.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
You know,
it's a consideration, though. That's one of the reasons why sequels, it's a known commodity. You can go, okay.
Good point.
You got a built-in base is what, yeah.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Yeah.
A big part of Top Gun Maverick's success was that when they just played the first note of the Top Gun theme in a commercial, you knew exactly. Like, and that was a song that was made 35 years ago, you know, and you knew exactly what to expect.
Yeah, I think the Indiana Jones, the new one, which didn't do that great, the song, the music used in those trailers was clearly an arrangement of that Indiana Jones theme to evoke your childhood and make you go, oh shit, I'm going, of course I'm going.
Yeah.
I'm going to see that movie.
And can I get a punctuation on Indiana Jones and Dial of Destiny? Like, Scott, because it was a big deal to you back in May. Like, how
I was very excited. I did not see it yet.
Oh, you didn't?
Oh, no. You haven't seen it yet.
No.
I saw it. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, enjoyed it as well.
Everybody I've talked to enjoyed it. I've never heard anyone rave about it, but I've heard they enjoyed it.
That's exactly what your expectation is.
That's enough
be.
For me. And it's on Disney Plus in like a week or something. So
yeah.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
There you go.
I think I'll get it there. I mean, just at this point.
I don't think you're going to find it in theaters, let alone.
I think it's still out there, isn't it?
It's some podunk Dollar Tree movie.
it's at the Dollar Tree theaters, yes. Right.
Exactly. Did you guys have a Dollar Theater growing up that you would go to all the time? So did we. Oh, we loved it.
We still have one. What are you talking about?
Is it only $1 still? Or they go
some
up?
Pissed off ex-employee threw a deer carcass. like, basically, they propped open the exit door one night when they were cleaning on their last day. then left out the front door, then drove in with a deer carcass, threw it into the theater, and just let it sit there over a long weekend where that theater, they knew that theater wasn't going to get used for any shows. And maggots buried themselves into the carpet, into the some of the cushions of the chairs. And apparently at one point, like as soon as they This is what my friend Liz told me because she worked there.
Yeah.
When they turned on the projector, 100,000 flies all flew to the light of the projector.
Oh my gosh! Can you imagine that?
The stench and everything. Yeah.
I mean,
let me out.
It's worse than just firebombing the place.
Yeah. That's like the time we gave laxatives to a cat and put it in my friend's car. In the summer, that was. I think at some point in my life, karma is still going to pay me back for that. I can't believe we did that to that poor guy. But yeah, that's horrible. That's awful. And all those flies.
So yeah, we did have a Dollar Theater.
That's a great legendary story though to tell.
Yeah,
is it still there? You know, can people?
Yeah, it's
go?
Called the. It's used to be the Elvis Cinemas. They rebranded all of the Dollar Theaters out here to be the Elvis Cinemas. I don't know why.
Weird.
Weird. Yeah.
Not a great track record for that name, but
Elvis Cinemas. Weird.
Elvis Cinemas, but I don't know what they're called now, but I'm pretty sure it's some new privately owned deal.
I was going to say you probably need rights, but probably not. It's just a name, I guess. There's a lot of people named Elvis Costello.
Yeah, Elvis Costello didn't need it. Yeah.
Yeah. That's interesting. All right. Well, may that deer never be forgotten.
Yeah. Or maybe forgotten.
Or forgotten. Oh. Yeah.
Maybe that is the preferred. Yeah.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Let's never forget to do clips. We're going to do some now. These are clips for this film, and I'm going to play them. That's how this works. So here goes. Listen to this clip. This first one is some early Brendan Gleeson.
Operation Downfall. The entire might of the UDF invading from France, the Mediterranean, Scandinavia, relieving pressure on the Eastern Front, allowing the Russians and Chinese to push the enemy back. We all meet in the middle, exterminating this mimic scourge along the way. A lot of good soldiers are going to die tomorrow, Major.
Wow. Deep, dark. Some heavy stuff there going on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Here's nervous Tom Cruise. He seems very nervous.
I just inspired millions of people to join your army. And when the body bags come home and they're looking for someone to blame, how hard do you think it would be for me to convince people to blame you? I'd imagine the general would prefer to avoid that.
Are you blackmailing me, boy?
Are you blackmailing me now?
Blackmailing me, Lucky Charms.
You can't blackmail me.
All right, here's...
Let me walk you out.
Not a fresh recruit.
Can I help you, sir?
Where the hell am I, Sergeant?
Forward Operating Base Heathrow. You just came in with the fresh recruits.
Do I strike you as a fresh recruit?
No, sir, you do not.
No, sir, you do not.
He's great. He's all about that talk. Here's another one of him.
Haven't you heard? We're T-minus Hall Ass H Hour.
Hall Ass H Hour. Yeah.
Was he from Science Hill, Tennessee, or something? Or Kentucky?
Yeah, yeah, that's it, yeah.
Science Hill.
You remember
Kentucky?
Was it Kentucky? Science Hill, Kentucky. Yeah, I think it was Kentucky.
That's what he said.
Some tip of the spear business.
Tip of the spear. Edge of the knife. Crack of my ass.
Crack of my ass. Okay, sure. Two girls, same time joke.
I've never been in one of these.
Yeah, well, I've never been with two girls at the same time before. But you can bet when that day comes, I'll make it work.
leave it to the Australian. A little dirty line at Australian. Let's see. Oh, this guy.
On your feet, maggot.
We got to hear him a lot.
Yeah.
A lot.
On your feet, maggot.
Here's all the maggots.
On your feet, maggot. 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 I'm trying to be nice to you, maggot. Now move.
Love it. Underrated, that guy.
Yeah.
Underrated. Yeah. Wow, this is second to last clip. I didn't get a lot of clips, as you noticed, because this movie didn't have a ton of like quirky dialogue. It was just like pretty straight ahead, you know?
Right, right.
But here's Tom Cruise yelling, son of a bitch.
Son of a bitch!
I just like... I like when he gets loud. There's something funny about his voice when he gets loud. Tom Cruise, in general. Doesn't matter the movie.
Son of a bitch!
Anything he's in. Just funny. All right, I got a final clip here. This is interesting. No one ever asks Ibbot's prom dates from the 80s.
Aww.
How they did. Like, how did they feel about the date? How did it go?
Many of them can't be found.
Right. I mean, don't look under the baseboards is all I'm saying. So this one finally did. There's a bit of a confessional about how the date went. And when asked, this is what she said.
I remember every detail. I remember everything, so I don't need to talk about it.
Wow. You really left a scar on her, you know?
I know the one who said that, too, and she was just nervously smoking a cigarette during that interview.
Can you blame her? Can you blame
her? Hands shaking, yeah.
Yeah, makes sense to me.
Let's not bring that up again.
All right, it's checklist time. By the way, that little musical sequence there is from Mission Impossible 1. So ironic that we're talking about a Tom Cruise movie today. Here we go. Let's get to the... Oh, shit, I've lost it. Hold on a second. Here it is. The Film Sack Checklist. I miss Bill Paxton. Check. 2014 CG that holds up pretty well. Check. And always put Brendan Gleeson in charge. Check. Star Trek Connection's got to be some. I hope it's Gleeson, but I don't know. I don't know who it would be.
Oh yeah. I mean, no one in the small cast of this movie appeared in like any Star Trek stuff.
Yeah.
However, a whopping 11 members of the crew for this movie also worked on Star Trek Beyond. So
that's
pretty cool.
Yeah.
Also, in addition to those 11, I'll just name three people real quick. Matt Middleton was the visual effects supervisor on this movie and the art director for Star Trek Discovery.
That's cool.
Jason Wasserman was assistant editor here and also assistant editor on Star Trek Nemesis. And Pete Romano was responsible for underwater camera work in this movie.
Ah,
and
God.
Was also the underwater director of photography for Star Trek The Reboot. And I don't remember it having an underwater scene.
Star Trek or this?
I'm just going to have to watch Star Trek the Reboot again.
I wonder how that works in a way.
All right, welcome to day one underwater training. First up, hold your breath. All right, good. We'll break. I'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah. That's funny.
Try to face the camera while you're underwater.
I'm trying to remember that too. I guess I don't remember that either. What underwater sequence? Yeah. Oh, you know what? Didn't the Enterprise? Maybe? No, I thought the Enterprise like crash landed somewhere and then it flooded.
That's in the second one.
Oh, yeah, I don't.
If you're gonna simulate space, there's a couple ways to do it. Either got to get in the pool, or you got to go in those zero gravities,
Fly
or you got to
vomit comet. Yeah,
right. Yep.
Or bad CGI. Which you gonna choose?
Bad CGI.
Yeah.
I don't know. I watched the behind the scenes
hair dryer, slow motion hair dryer.
Yeah. Oh, did you guys watch any of the Strange New Worlds?
I haven't watched the behind the scenes.
I watch every Ready Room. I watch every clip. Yeah.
Oh, it's so good how they did some of the stuff from this season. It's so good.
That's ready cool. Room. We just finished episode 5.
Yeah.
We're going to start it this
weekend. Oh my gosh, you're
I'm savoring this.
I don't blame you. I wish I could go back and savor it.
It also I'd go a lot faster if I didn't just pause the screen every time Nurse Chapel is on screen.
You're all about the Nurse Chapel, are you?
Oh my gosh, she is she is the Alpha and the Omega.
There you go. She's hilarious.
She's got quite a storyline going into the last episode.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
She does.
Hey Dunaway, where'd you get 2006 Tom Cruise hit Vanilla Sky for $6.99? Where'd you get that?
Oh, that was a previously viewed Blockbuster drop that dropped at the local thrift store that I picked up this past week when y'all were talking about it earlier. I was like, I got to take a picture of that.
But it wasn't really $6.99, was it?
Oh, no. It was literally a quarter. Oh,
okay.
That's the reason why I have two Princesses Bride, because you may be looking above that and going, why does he have two Princess Bride?
Yeah. Oh, I like the fact that you kind of did the I have two Princesses Bride.
Yeah, I like that.
Brides.
Yeah. AirPods Pro.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. So I got two of those, and you may be asking, but it look exactly the same. That's what I thought too. The clamshell box on the outside looks exactly the same. They're all numbered exactly the same. But when you open them, the tapes are different, completely different tapes. I'm like, oh, is there anything different here? I'll find out for 50 cents.
Yep.
So we'll see. Yeah.
All right. Okay. I admire your weird experiment. Truly.
Right. Yeah, follow me on TikTok for more stupid ass VHS stuff. Yeah. Right.
Less about the money and more about the time. Yeah. Like, it means you have to watch Princess Bride twice.
Yeah. I'll pretend like I'm in a loop.
Not that it's not a bad movie, but yeah. You have two TVs side by side. So you can say, this one.
I've got two 13-inch TV VCRs that I can pop them in both at the same time and hit play.
Fantastic. Nice. Oh my God. Please record up a few minutes of that experience.
Soundtrack grade this week. I give this thing a G for pretty great. I think it's good. Yeah. Real intense, and I don't know who did it. Randy, usually know. Do you know who did it?
Did you know, Randy?
I do. I just got far away from
where his dad is.
Even though you do the same thing every time.
Yeah.
And it's very predictable.
Yeah. I didn't see it coming.
Yeah. It was
this is music by Christoph Beck.
Oh, I've never heard of him, but do I know him from something big or something else?
Because he gets these really big like musicals.
Yeah.
So like he gets the composer credit for Frozen, you know?
Okay.
Like he right before that got the composer credit for the 2011 Muppets. Like he's that guy.
He's a megastar. I got you.
Christoph Beck.
Yeah. Christoph. Oh. I kind of wish my name was Christoph. Go ahead.
Sure. Do you really?
Just saying.
Do you wish that? Why do you wish
Christoph
that?
Christoph Dunaway.
I don't know. It's just such a sexy name. Christoph.
Christoph Waltz? Mm-hmm. Like that?
Yes.
Christoph.
This is my friend Django. Django.
Well, not if you say it like that.
Oh, all
right. Let's say I have to say it now.
I was just looking through my score collection, and he composed the music for Hot Tub Time Machine. And I'm like, what? Why do I even have that? I guess I need to listen to it again.
Wow.
Must
really?
Be good.
That is weird.
Must be good.
Another thing I've never seen. Either
that's
of them.
Fun.
That's fun. And dirty, right? Nice and dirty. Is that the deal?
Yeah. It's typical. It's. I don't think it's Apatow, but it's Apatow level blue.
It's your raunchy R-rated comedy deal.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So let's see here. Social media post time, everybody. Hope you're ready for this. You guys have to sum this up in 280 characters or less. And I'm feeling a little saucy. So we're going to start this week with Randy.
Edge of Tomorrow. Dying with your men, you can try again. Want some big biceps? Just do baby steps. Don't take off one day. Never try swordplay. Don't need the vaccine. What does roguelike mean? Hmm. Don't you call in sick? Middle tooth is ick.
Yeah. Hey.
Ding, zing, oh, bing. That was great.
Zing at the end.
Ooh. Yeah, yeah. Got you real good and hard. Now Dunaway, your turn.
Oh, okay. Edge of Tomorrow. Like some hot and sweaty upward facing dog yoga in a claw machine blender. We got to go. No, we got to go now. Hashtag fighting the spaghetti and meatballs.
Nice. Nice. I'm not going to be able to watch this and not think of spaghetti now. Thanks a lot.
How can you not?
It's your fault. Brian Ibbett.
Edge of Tomorrow. From the Alpha to the Omega, this is a much beta sci-fi movie. Both of those are Greek letters, too. Than Tom Cruise has ever made. Hashtag it's geek to me.
I like the explainer in the middle. That's my
favorite. Yeah, that was good.
It. I spelled it PSI. My notes, I spelled it PSIPHI, sci-fi.
Nice.
Nice.
I like it a lot.
We're watching this movie yesterday, and the very first time Tom Cruise wakes up, not the first time he wakes, the first time he loops. Right.
Right.
He
right.
dies with the terrible face burning.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Mm. And then he wakes up on the tarmac and everything's fine. My kid yelled, "It's a roguelike."
He's not wrong. Like, not wrong at all.
It is.
Kind of is. All right. Let's move on to the alternate titles. These were just handed to me. You can even here's proof right here. I have this paper. This was almost called Edge of Good Title Selection. they changed that to On Your Feet, Maggot was nearly the name of the film, but they changed their mind there as well, and we got what we got. Let's do an email. We got an email here from, Pete from Austin. His question is, why is Hank Azaria always trying to steal my wife? This was the subject of his email. Okay.
This is true.
So he says, during your last episode on Mystery Men, you were trying to recall a movie with Hank Azaria in which he was trying to steal somebody's wife. Along Came Polly was the film, but the whole time I was thinking you might be referencing Run, Fat Boy, Run, where Simon Pegg is trying to win Thandie Newton back from Hank Azaria.
Right.
I highly recommend you sack this movie if it ever comes up to streaming services. And what grossed Scott out the most moment is absolutely in the trailer. I haven't seen it, so I'd have to look. I also had I had fun little story about the song All Star. You know, get your game on.
How do you sing it again?
I'm never doing it again.
Somebody once told me.
That's how it goes.
Yeah,
it goes
Shrek, just like that. Shrek kicks open the outhouse and you're on your way.
Right, yeah.
I was a contestant in a trivia round at my school where they played a snippet of that song and you had to correctly place the movie. All Star was one of the snippets and I wrote Mystery Men on my board. The trivia master and all the other teachers in the room wanted to count that wrong since I didn't write Shrek like all the other contestants did. I had to pull up the music video for All Star in a room full of grown adults to prove myself. I did end up winning the trivia event. Thanks for the entertainment.
That is why you are a pro. Well done.
Yep. Love it. Love it. I knew you'd like this story, Ibbett. I was just
I love it.
Bringing a trivia victory story.
Like, because I would 100% do that. I'd be like, hold time out, everybody. Yep. Let me pull this up.
Yeah, we're going. We're looking.
Trivia master touched you, Ibbit.
Boy, you got by the way, don't
some anger.
Don't do trivia questions like this if you're not going to look to see what the multiple answers are.
Yeah,
I better vet it. Yeah, you better vet your answer.
Like what movie featured "Everybody Wants to Rule the World" by Tears for Fears? You know what? You're gonna have to have 14 allowable answers.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Right. By the way, my nickname for Eddie Vedder is Better Vet It. I call him that.
Better Vet It.
Yeah. Yes. Anyway, Pete from Austin, that's an awesome email. Thank you so much for it. Filmsack@gmail.com is where you do it. We also got a quick voicemail from somebody about language barriers.
Hello, Filmsack. Scott, Randy, Brian. I was calling because you guys were discussing in the movie 65, the language barrier, and talking about movies that also use that kind of as a device or whatever, and you know, a lot of people go back to Enemy Mine, and I know you guys also mentioned, you know, Fifth Element and whatnot. But nobody ever talks about Hell in the Pacific, which I don't know if you guys have seen, but it's a 1968 movie with the great legendary Toshiro Mifune and Lee Marvin, where they are Japanese and American soldiers that are stranded on an island together. I don't know whether you guys have seen it. If not, maybe you could Sack it. I haven't seen it in a long time, but it's a great movie, and it just it almost seems like the prototype for Enemy Mine. Anyway, love the show. Keep up what you're doing.
Shut up, Scott.
Dunaway, you all right over there?
It's like a rapper being a guest star in a CSI.
So people do this to us when they're listening to our podcast. People talk back to the podcast. Yeah. I do the same when you send in voicemails. I do the same exact thing. This is how you sound.
I love it. I think don't stop. Don't stop doing that.
Yeah, this isn't a complaint.
But yeah, that's a good comparison.
I've never heard of this movie. It sounds great though. I love Lee Marvin. Obviously it's old, so we're gonna have some old school techniques going on, but I mean, whatever.
I feel like I've seen it. Like it's like one of those movies that your dad had on VHS back in the day and watched occasionally or something like that. I don't know. It just feels familiar.
What do you call it?
I've seen it.
Hell in the Pacific.
Hell in the Pacific. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to write that down. Seems good. And look, that trope of like, I don't understand you. You don't understand me. We got to figure out how to work together. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty good one. It works.
It is.
Pretty good tropes.
Yeah. It's not bad.
I like it a lot.
It's real good.
65.
65.
65.
Edge of Tomorrow.
Edge of Tomorrow.
Edge of Tomorrow.
We're on a string of movies that could have had better names.
Yeah. We are. What is speaking of which? What is next week's? Do we know already? It's our film critic special.
We're doing a special.
But we can commit to the next movie, which is Man on Fire.
That's right. Oh, shit.
Oh, see, now that is a literal title. He is really on fire.
I love that movie. A Tony Scott directed joint. It's one of my favorites he ever did. I can't wait for that.
Okay.
I love that movie. Oh my gosh. All right. I didn't know we were doing that.
Well, if he's not literally on fire for at least half the movie, I'm not watching it.
He's on fire in the movie poster. Does that count? Because I don't think he's on fire at any point during the film.
No, he's never on
fire.
What
if he's just shooting hoops and he's made a bunch of consecutive.
Oh, you're on fire.
NBA Jam kind of. He's on fire.
Shamalama ding dong, the guy will yell or whatever.
Yeah.
I think he sets Dakota Fanning on fire. No, I don't know what happens.
Oh,
I know she's in it.
Oh, that's terrible.
Dakota Fanning.
Is she kind of like Firestarter in this? Is she kind of like a Drew Barrymore Firestarter?
No, she's a young kidnap victim, and that's all I'll say for now.
Oh, so it's Bodyguard. Okay.
Kinda. It's much cooler than that, though. It's one of my favorite Washington movies, one of my favorite Tony Scott movies. It's so good. Anyway, we're going to do that.
Some Christopher Walken.
Well, I've heard there's supposed to be a TV series adaptation ordered by Netflix.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Really?
Yeah. I could see that. It's good enough to branch out.
And when I say I hear, I just read it on the internet.
Well, I'm glad you clarified that. Yeah. Our film critic special, though, is next week. And this is going to be a roundtable discussion about reviews and Rotten Tomatoes and you know, just film critics in general. And how does that make us feel as moviegoers? Do we pay attention to that stuff? Who do we trust? Do we listen to user reviews? Like, how does it all work? Very cool discussion coming your way next week. So check that out. In the meantime, I'd like to thank some patrons. Big shout out to some new folks who joined us at patreon.com/filmsack. Taylor Fox, Ollie Renklint.
Sure.
Chris Ross, Joshua Grant Slurm.
Did you say Chris Rock?
Chris Ross with two S's.
Roth. Okay.
Yeah, not Roth. Ross.
Chris Roth is also a relatively famous person.
Yeah, right, Chris Roth. Chris Roth and Joshua Grant Thurm. Anyway, all these guys are now, hopefully will still be supporting us by the time you hear this. Anyway, if you want to be like them and all the many others who are doing so, you'll get no commercials on your feed, which is great. You'll get host specials. The one Brian just put up was awesome. You guys got to check that out. Talking about time loop movies. Real good stuff. I don't know who September is. Who's September?
That's me. Oh, I'm up next.
No pressure, dude. No pressure.
Oh, there's a lot of pressure. There's been some really great quality content pushed out. So
yeah. So feel pressure then. Have some pressure.
Oh, I don't feel any pressure.
Have some pressure.
Yeah.
I'm saying the bar is high. It is so high. I'm like, eh.
Why don't you just have some pressure? Anyway.
we're just gonna lower the bar a little
bit. Yeah, a little bit.
Runaway and I are gonna
I'm gonna reset the bar. So you guys go ahead and just get ready.
Yeah. Also good news, every week you get pre-show content, regardless, and prints in the mail. I just sent off this little zombie kid thing I did, and I think people are gonna really like it. If that all sounds decent to you and you just like to get in even at the bottom level, you can do it. Go over to patreon.com/filmsack today. In the meantime, filmsack.com is our website. And you can find all our contact links there. So go check that out. That's going to do it for us. For me, for Brian, and for Randy.
Come find me when you wake up.
I'll see you next time.
Get more at frogpants.com.
Son of a bitch!
Yeah.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.